Good evening. Before we start, let's bow our heads. Our Lord and Father, which are in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to get to know Him, to know Your Word, and to know Your will, and to through Jesus, Lord, through accepting Him, to be a part of Your church. We pray that at this time that You could bless this service, bless the message, and to please grant me wisdom in executing it, and that it could be to Your glory, Lord, and beneficial to everyone here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for this evening's message, I'm going to be reading primarily, or speaking out of, and reading mostly out of the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you guys want to turn there, or keep your finger on that book, that's where most of my talk is going to be from. Live life to its fullest is something that you guys may have heard people say. You work hard and then you die, some people have said. Or maybe you've seen it like on a bumper sticker or something. It's like just a philosophy or a belief that people have on what life is. How about this one? The one with the most toys wins. Knowledge is power. Living for the weekend. You guys can probably think of maybe a lot of others that are out there. No fear, you know, about having a lot of fun doing a lot of extreme sports. And so people then that have this view of life then go ahead and plan their life around these things. They make plans and they make goals that are related to it, that are associated to it. How many of you out here have made goals for yourselves? I'm sure most of us have. You don't need to raise your hand, but if you like, you could. How about plans to achieve those goals? You know, most of us do that. How many of you have set the goals and then make the plans and then actually make it happen? Okay? That's like the next step. Based on my personal experience, I would guess that unless you're younger than maybe 9 years old, you probably have made goals in your life. When I was about 9, I made some goals for myself. I wanted to attain 3 things. One was a stretch belt that had a buckle with my initial on it. The other one, the second one, was I wanted a comb, one of these big black combs with a big handle. I wanted one of those stick, you know, the handle sticks out of your pocket. I wanted one of those. And the third thing I wanted was not something I could touch, but it was I wanted to learn how to whistle really loud, you know, not just, you know, like that. I wanted to, you know, make people's ears pierce. One thing I didn't realize at the time, though, that some of those things were actually mimicking the gang style of the area that I lived in. I was too young to actually see that, but that's really what I was modeling after. And I mean, that was what was considered cool in our school. I remember getting the comb. I don't know where I got it. Don't ask. And I got the belt. My brother gave it to me. It actually had his initial on it. Didn't have my initial, but it was the best I could do. I don't know, the whistling part didn't come until many years after. But looking back at those things, I remember one very important thing, and that was that when I had attained those things, that I so much wanted. I was only happy for a little while. You know, I was like, oh cool, I got it. I went to school and I thought I was really cool. And but after a while, you know, it got really stretchy and it didn't look that cool anymore. And I don't know what happened to it. Comb probably just got dirty. But then there were other goals in life that came around and replaced those. So I would be, in a sense, setting a new goal for myself. So a goal sometimes, in some cases, was never even attained before a new one replaced it. So we all have goals. Some of the goals that we have are actually nobler than others. So what do some of these goals look like? Some of them are related to things we have or that we want to have, like a stretch belt with my brother's initial on it. Some things are related to or are less tangible. There are things like wanting to learn, like when I wanted to learn how to whistle. Some of the goals are very personal. We create them in secret, achieve them in secret. Nobody knows that we made them or accomplished them. But they can still be very important to us anyways. For the sake of this talk, I'm not going to get into goals that are malicious or evil. I will concentrate mostly on those that we consider, you know, that we consider kind of, you know, with, you know, that are positive, neutral maybe, or benevolent. Some of these goals include, I've got a whole list here. I think you guys can probably add another 500 to this list, but I'm just going to run a few here. And getting a job, getting a new wardrobe, buying a house, getting an apartment, getting good grades in school, making it into the drill team or football team or any other sport in school, getting a car, getting a career. How about getting a new car? Remodeling your home, something we're doing right now. Becoming a missionary, getting new furniture, going to college, going on a mission, going to trade school, getting a better paying job, getting a motorcycle, learning how to cook. I think that's something I need to do. Climbing a very high mountain, running a marathon, raising our children to become responsible adults, getting a college degree, getting a promotion, making a quilt, learning how to play guitar or another instrument, fixing the roof, remodeling the church library, building a larger church building with a sloped roof, paying off our debts, retiring, traveling. On work day, there's a list that gets circulated around here. Travis has talked about it in the past, of things that need to get done here at the church building. It consists of goals. If I'm not mistaken, there are probably 200 or so on there. They get added every day, new ones. I won't read it at this point. But these are just some examples, and of course the list can go on indefinitely. It is a part of our human nature to make plans. There's plenty of evidence that shows that we are unique, that is different from all the other creatures in this planet, in that we see ourselves not only in the present, but also in the future, and in most cases, far into the future. This naturally leads us to make goals that in some cases take years, or even a lifetime, to achieve. So we all have goals that we make for ourselves. How many of you have created a plan that is a detailed and somewhat structured set of instructions on how you are going to go about getting this goal realized? I think this would be a majority of you. Simple goals don't need much planning, but more complicated ones do, and sometimes require a lot of planning, a lot of thinking, usually a lot of hard work. How many of you at the present have goals for which you have created a plan for attaining it and are acting on it? So we make goals for ourselves, we make plans to achieve those goals, and we take action to execute the plans to make it possible for us to fulfill those goals. So what does God teach us, or what does God's Word teach us about the goals we make for ourselves and our achievements? Ecclesiastes 1 through 18. This is King Solomon's writings. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does a man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also the sun rises and sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. Blowing toward the south, then turning towards the north, the wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, See this, it is new. Already it has existed for ages, which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. And I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I realize that this also is striving after wind, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. I think I just burst your bubble. Actually, it was King Solomon that just burst your bubble. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All the work that we did yesterday at work day, vanity. King Solomon was wealthy, powerful, and wise. If anyone had the opportunity and resources to achieve the goals that, you know, he had set before him, he certainly most did. Ecclesiastes 2:1-2 reads, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself, and behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? Do your goals involve, or in life involve, having fun? Getting the latest Christian rock group's album, or going to the concert, perhaps a trip to Disneyland or the Puyallup Fair? Vanity. Ecclesiastes 2, 4, 5, and 6. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. Do your goals involve some great work? Planting a garden, landscaping, building a home, remodeling a home, building a monument, perhaps. Vanity. As you will see, it's going to cover just about everything. Ecclesiastes 2, 7, and 8. I bought male and female slaves. I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks, herds, larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Do any of our goals entail possessions? A new car, a home, entertainment center, owning a business? Yes, even my stretch belt with my brother's initial on it counts as that. Vanity. Ecclesiastes 2:9. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. Do our goals involve achievements of prestige, getting a title or a college degree or some other position of respect or authority, being the best at something? It's vanity. Ecclesiastes 2:11. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. So it seems that all of our efforts and goals and accomplishment, it seems that they do fall under the category of vanity. Are we all depressed yet? From the point of view of someone who doesn't believe in God, I think this is the conclusion or the answer to the meaning of life. Sure, they can come up with the purpose of life or for a meaning of life with maybe the improvement of the condition of mankind through some various means that they can come up with. But for what purpose? It appears to me that the question is simply pushed forward. Why should I pursue the betterment of human conditions at the expense of my own wants and needs? Some may argue that the ultimate goal is to preserve nature and to protect the environment. Don't kill endangered species. Don't pollute. I don't necessarily think some of these things are bad. But in the context of this point of view, if I decide not to want to do these things and being a part of nature itself, me, how can I do anything that is outside of nature? If I decide not to do any of those things, I am simply doing what is natural to me. I can't be faulted for that. So this way of thinking just doesn't make sense to me. In a worldview that is in viewing the world or reality in this manner, all of the efforts of mankind are in fact vanity. For as the writer of Ecclesiastes writes, regardless of what we do, in Ecclesiastes 1:5, The sun rises and the sun sets. It doesn't take us long to realize, and I realized even at a very young age, that quite often those things that we think will make us happy and which we pursue and make goals and plans to attain don't really make us happy. Well, they make us happy, but only for a short while. Why is that? Is there a problem with the thing itself? Is the goal of buying a home someday problematic in itself? Or is the problem with us? Ecclesiastes 7:29. Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. God made men upright. That is, God made Adam and Eve sinless and pure. But they sought out to improve their situation on their own without consenting God. And this was done at their demise. Since then, mankind has been in a struggle in which they want to satisfy their needs on their own with the need for God. They want to satisfy their needs on their own without the need for God, while at the same time not attaining it, because without God it is in fact unattainable. The problem is in fact with us. This is what makes all our efforts without God vain. Ecclesiastes is a wonderful book. You guys may be asking, why is it making us so depressed? Well, we're not done with it yet. This book is really meant to be read in its entirety in order to grasp the message that is being conveyed. If you were to read just the first few chapters and then left it at that, it would in fact be a very depressing book. Don't do that. Read the whole thing. It's not very long. Our efforts are only vain in the absence of a proper attitude towards God. Ecclesiastes, I'm going to read from chapter 11, starting with verse 8, and we'll read all the way through the end. Some of this language is poetic, and it's going to describe... I'm not going to explain it all, but it's going to describe basically a picture of what it's like when you get old, being that a lot of these things really apply a lot more to the younger people, because we're the ones doing most of the planning and looking at, you know, the future and making plans for raising our children and all that, achieving great things. But let's start. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, The grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors of the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of tares on the road, The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For a man goes to his eternal home while mourners go into the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, he warned, the writing of many books is endless and excessive. Devotion to books is weary to the body. Especially, I want to emphasize these last two verses. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So we can go ahead and plan and make goals, but we always need to keep in mind that all of these things need to be in line with what God's will is. Daryl Jr. in the morning preached, and he made the comment about that we should ask ourselves, how do these things that we're doing, how do they glorify God? How do they fit into our purpose to serve Him? I think those are very much in line with what I'm talking about tonight. One last thing I would leave you with here is now we're in the New Testament here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Keep these things in mind when you're making your plans and your goals. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Thank you.